Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading, which we will find in the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which ye do see, which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first section, we have verses 1 through 6, and this is the statement of John the Baptist to his disciples to go and to query the Lord Jesus Christ. John is perhaps entering into one of those periods that we all enter into from time to time, which is there is a particular difficulty. There are trials. There are things that rise up that assault and insult our faith and strike against it. And so we know that as human beings, we do not always have the same kind of strength. There are times that we are incredibly weakened. There are times our faith, like the larger catechism says, is even interrupted. And so here we have then John, who at the coming of Messiah, I believe he understood his mission. I believe he understood that it was the Spirit of God that spoke to him, that told him to herald the Lord Jesus Christ as his Messiah. And as that herald that was prophesied, two passages the Lord Jesus Christ mentions here, Malachi 3:1 and Malachi 4:5 in his discourse. And so John is not apostatizing here. He's struggling with his faith. This was not what he expected. He did not expect that at the coming of Messiah, and he as his herald, that he would end up in prison. It is against his expectation altogether. And so he does what he ought to do. He goes to Christ with his failed expectations. His expectations are not as things have turned out, and so he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends his disciples. And notice where the Lord Jesus Christ sends him. The Lord Jesus Christ sends him to the Bible. He sends him to the Word of God, prophesying from the book of Isaiah those things that Messiah would do when he came. And so notice that it is no mystical assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ offers to John. It is the assurance of believing the Word of God that he offers to John. And then he closes up that with, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Right? Because the cross is an offense to the self-righteous. And so John is, we assume from the passage, although it is not stated, John is comforted. Now, we know that John never left the prison. He was kept in prison by Herod, and finally, he was beheaded. So notice also that what John needed, he received. The faith that the Lord Jesus Christ points to is faith in His Word and faith in Himself. And that was John's comfort. It wasn't being released from prison. The comfort that John received was the comfort that he needed for his soul. All right, so then Jesus goes on to speak about John to the multitudes. And he says, you know, who did you go out to see when you went out to John? What was your expectation? Was it to see a man in soft clothing, or was it to see a prophet? Was it to see a wimp, or was it to see someone who evinced the lifestyle of a prophet, right? Wearing a rough, hairy garment and eating locusts and wild honey. Did you go out to see a guy who was clothed in soft raiment that would live, that you would expect, delicately, deliciously in a king's house? Or did you go out to see someone who evinced by his life that he was not of this world? And so you went out to see a prophet, didn't you? That's what Jesus tells them. And he said, yes, a prophet indeed. Because of John it was spoken that he will be the messenger, the herald of Messiah, that he is that Elijah that should come. Notice, we do not look for a second Elijah to come, or Elijah of old somehow miraculously to rise from the dead and to come again. I know that there are some Christian groups that do that. That is not that's not what Jesus does. Jesus tells us that John is that Elijah. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He came dressed like Elijah. He came preaching like Elijah. He resembled Elijah in everything he did. And he had the added benefit of being a herald of Messiah. And so our Lord Jesus goes on to say that John was the greatest up until his time that was born. In other words, he had the greatest duty. He had the greatest office in that he was the herald of the King of Kings. The herald of the Messiah, the herald of the Prince, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. But notice this, that the greatness of the New Testament is that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven And the kingdom of heaven, we understand in the Gospel of Matthew, to relate to the church of the New Testament. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, because the church that is established in the days of Messiah is indeed a greater, a fuller, a larger manifestation of the church that had existed up until that time. The ordinances were more simple and yet more spiritually powerful. The giving of the Spirit of God is in a New Testament kind of way. Remember how Joel prophesied and how Peter followed that up on the day of Pentecost when he said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon what? All flesh. Not just a few. Not just a few prophets or a few folk even within the large nation of Israel. But notice, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, far and wide, and so on. And so the kingdom of heaven, that is that New Testament manifestation of the church. It's not that the church didn't exist in the Old Testament. It most certainly did. Stephen tells us that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. But it is that the church of the New Testament is greater. It is greater because the ordinances are greater and more spiritually full. The giving of the Spirit is greater. She has the very word of Messiah and so on. And so these things are greater, such that the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John in that sense. All right, so then in verses 16 through 24... Whereunto shall I liken this generation is how this section begins. And really what it is it's a section that shows the marks of faithlessness. The marks of faithlessness. You say, where do you get that? Well, John came, and he came that austere man, right? Locusts and wild honey, rough garment for his clothing. And what did they say of John? He's got a devil. Jesus came as the liberal man, right? And liberal in the sense that he came eating and drinking. He was not found out in the wilderness in a rough garment. He was in town. He was with the people, in and among them. He did not fast. He drank wine. And what did they call him? Well, they called him a wine bibber and a glutton. And Jesus says, wisdom is justified of her children. And what Jesus means by that is that if someone is faithless, nothing will please them. Nothing that God does will please them. It's always, you didn't tell me enough, or you told me too much. It's always, the Christian life is too hard. Oh no, it's too simple. It's always, no, the gospel can't be true. It offends me. And they won't believe. Like Jesus said in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, even if someone rises from the dead. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so it doesn't really matter. Remember here that it is what matters is the supernatural work of God through His appointed means. So yes, we want to be where the Lord is working. And praise God, He does work. He works upon His people and He gives them new hearts. And so we no longer say things like a wine bibber and a glutton, or he hath a devil. We find ourselves like the Gadarene demoniac sitting at the feet of Christ for the first time in our lives in our right mind. Right? That's what faith does. All right, so then the last portion of the chapter, and I know we're just kind of running rough over this, but it is indeed a reading. So at this last section, then, we have our Lord Jesus Christ speaking about Himself and about His office as the revealer of God. It's a very great, it's a wonderful passage that speaks of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of these, one of those passages where if you sit down for a while and think about it, there are several things that just come springing to the fore. First of all, Jesus says, notice that these things are hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed to babes. Now, revealed to babes does not mean here, hermeneutically speaking, think with me for a moment. Revealed to babes is contrasted with wise and prudent. Right? Notice he doesn't contrast old and babies. He contrasts wise and prudent with babes. And so the wise and prudent here are the wise and prudent of the world who think themselves wise and prudent. And from them, these great truths are hidden. But to babes, those who are dependent and humble and trusting and faithful, to them, they are revealed. What things? The things about God Himself. Notice it says that Jesus goes on to say that no man knows the Father save the Son. And no man knows the Son save the Father, right? There is a mutuality of knowledge between the Father and the Son that witnesses to the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ in His kind of comprehensive knowledge of the Father and the Father's comprehensive knowledge of Him. And so, can I say it this way? Our Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly suited to be the revealer of God. Because not only does He know God comprehensively, He also is man. And He is the one to whom in the economy of redemption, it has fallen that He should be the one who reveals God in His righteousness, in His holiness, in His majesty, in His mercy, in His forgiveness, in all these things and so many more. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these things are hidden to the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes, then we understand to whom and with whom the Lord Jesus Christ works. He works not with the wise and prudent, those who have no need for God, but He works with those who confess that they are in need, that they are lost, that they are ignorant, that they are in darkness. And so He says, then, if you want to know about God, come unto Me. Come unto Me, Jesus says. Once again, our Lord Jesus Christ sets Himself up as the focal point of your salvation. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not God Himself, and He says, come unto Me, then He is a blasphemer. But He is God Himself. And so He is not a blasphemer. He is indeed the revealer of God, who is both God and man. And notice what He says about coming to Him. He says that apart from coming to Him, all that is left to you is burdensome and toilsome labor. But of His yoke, He says, it is easy. It is light. He has taken off from His babes all of the responsibility of being right with God because He makes them right. He has taken off from them all earning and yearning for salvation because they were working and working and working for it and being crushed under that burden. And He says, My yoke is easy and My burden is light. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.